Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The hardest thing that a preacher has to do is adjust to the pulpit. I'm happy that the pulpit is not 7 feet tall.
We have a step stool.
Bob says you have a step stool if it was. Bob, I appreciate you and Jana so very much. And Tammy, I appreciate you. And I appreciate the congregation inviting me to come and to share with you on today. If you would kindly take your Bibles, if you have them, or whatever you use to read the scripture with, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. And it would be the 18th chapter. The Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter. There's a parable, I use the word story, there's a parable that you probably have heard numerous of times. And this parable is about a woman who was in need of something. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And when Tammy called me and she said, John, she says, we need someone to fill the pulpit on Sunday. And I said, I will accept it. And then I said to her, Tammy, you know what I'm going to do now? She said, what? And she's so colorful, you know. What, John? I said, I'm going to do what my grandmother taught me. Because of a lack of vocabulary, she used the word, Johnny, worry the Lord. So when I finished talking with Tammy, I got on my knees and I worried the Lord. And I've been worrying the Lord since then. And while I was in there in your library, I was rewriting and editing and Jana worrying the Lord again. And I want to share this with you. Every pastor, minister is different. And I am included in that phrase. But I'm just old school. I was taught by the older pastors. And they said, Johnny, a sermon is never complete. You're always writing and rewriting. If it's not with the pen, it's in your mind until you stand up. And when you stand up, then the Lord will be speaking through you, hopefully, and you will continuously be writing, rewriting, and editing. So I just wanted to share with you what my peculiarities are. I'm always writing, rewriting, and editing in my mind. Now, please repeat this theme. It's our time to pray. Now let's say it like we mean it. It's our time to pray. All right? One more time. Peter, I didn't hear you. One more time. I'm just having fun with you now. It's what? Our time to pray. Now we have to say it with gusto like we mean it. It's our time to pray. Several songs, hymns flashed in my mind when the Lord was giving me this subject. Johnny, share with them. It's our time to pray. I have no idea what you are being confronted with, faced with, or experiencing at this moment, but I do know it is a time for prayer. James Montgomery, 18th century, flashed in my mind. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed. The motion of a hidden fire that trembles within the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear. the upward glancing of the eye when none but God is near. O thou whom we come to God, Lord, teach us to pray. Fervent prayer could be spoken or unspoken. Prayer is a heartfelt prayer, often with tears swelled in our eyes. The next hymn that came to my mind was growing up in San Francisco in the age of five. We arrived there from Texas because Dad re-enlisted after the Korean conflict, and the Army was stationed at Presidio of San Francisco. And as a youngster rearing up, Lakeshore Avenue Baptist Church is an American Baptist church. And Pastor Romney was the only white church on the black station. And they broadcast every Sunday morning. And they had a prayer time every Sunday morning. And this was the song that they sang, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all of my wants and my wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and often escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. The other song that flashed in my mind was one that a woman who was an outstanding missionary and teacher. And she became ill, forced to retire. And she summons God. I'm doing a great work for you. Why have you limited my mobility? And then God flashed in her mind, yes, I'm giving you a higher calling. I'm promoting you so that you would write hymns and songs and poems for children. You will be an outstanding Sunday school superintendent. Elsa A. Hoffman, she wrote this, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus. Let me pause. I didn't understand this hymn as a little boy growing up with both of my grandmothers singing, my maternal and paternal grandmother singing it. And I didn't realize the struggles in life they were going through in Sanger, Texas, with only the cotton fields as one source of income. I can hear them singing, tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. When I came to Atlanta for postgraduate studies at Interdenominational Theological Center, Morehouse School of Religion, this was a famous song in the South, Whisper a Prayer in the Morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening. 'Twill keep our hearts in tune. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. 'Twill keep our hearts in tune. First Baptist Church of Lincoln, you have a rich history. I Googled it just a little bit late last night to get an idea of what 18 and something was when the church was organized. And then from there, fast forward, the ministries that you have provided. But on a personal note, this is Johnny talking. I was so impressed when Pastor Joy, she said, John, First Baptist is my first pastorate. And I said, wow, that congregation is inclusive, very intelligent, dedicated totally to serving God and serving the community. And I commend you for calling a female to be your pastor. Her first pastorate. And you nurtured her. You poured into her. You gave her opportunities to grow, to learn, to develop. If I had a hat on, Brandon and Bob and Calvin, I would tip it to First Baptist of Lincoln. Now let's journey. Let's go on a journey. Tammy has unlimited contacts, and she has arranged some kind of way. Now, you'll have to talk with her after the service how she did it. She arranged for us to take a mental journey from Nebraska to Chicago and O'Hara to London on to Jerusalem. And then when we arrive, we're going to take a motorcade from Tel Aviv, and we're going to journey up the Mediterranean Sea, and then we're going to jog a little bit southwest to a little town named Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. And let's assume that in Nazareth, this is where the judge in the city courthouse was holding court. And imagine with me, here's a widow with a need, with a problem. And let's assume she lived 5 to 10 miles outside in the rural of Nazareth. Can you see her? I can see her. The night before, fixing her backpack, putting on a change of clothes so she'll look more presentable when she walk into the courthouse. Fixing a lunch and some snacks and beverage to keep her hydrated. And she makes the walk, singing and praying. She arrives at the courthouse. And you know, when you come to the courthouse, you have to sign in that you're present so that you can be on the docket. And she did. And let's say for several weeks, her name never came up on the docket. Even though she was there when the rooster crowed, that's what they say in the country, when the rooster crowed, she was not. Name was not called, but she never gave up. She just sang her way back home, kept her coming for several weeks. And finally, she came before the judge. And she acknowledged that she had a personal problem. And when we read the scripture, it says, Jesus spoke a parable to his disciples. And today, he is speaking a parable to us. Because guess what? We are his disciples. Jesus encouraged them to always pray. And the scripture says, King James Version, not faint. A new version, pray and never give up. Pray, can I use the word that my grandmother used? Pray and don't stop praying. And then Jesus tells the parable about a judge who feared not God, a judge who disrespected people that he didn't really want to help that came before his court. And there was the widow that came and came and came and continually coming, praying and singing on her way to the courthouse, praying and singing in the courthouse silently, and praying and singing on her way back home audibly. Finally, her name came up on the docket. Ma'am, can I help you? Yes, sir, Your Honor. I have a personal problem. It's an adversary, and I'm allow each of you to put a tag and put your list of whatever the adversary was. It can be anything, okay? Being a widow and Jewish, her husband had passed. Did he pass during the war? Was he a construction worker and fell off the ladder and injured his spine and later passed? Something happened. She was a widow. She had expenses. And unfortunately, during that time, women were not encouraged to work and make a living. But she was doing the best that she could, but she still had a problem. It could have been financial. Maybe she was behind on her rent. Maybe the rent went up. Maybe she couldn't pay her taxes. Maybe her son or sons were being taken into slavery as servants until the Jubilee year to pay whatever debt it was. She had a problem. She came to the judge. And unfortunately, the judge heard. Can I tell you what my mother taught me? She said, Johnny, sometimes you have to hear and don't hear, and see and don't see. And this woman experienced this with the judge. But she continued to pray. She was consistent and persistent in her prayers, and she continued praying. Morning, noon, and night, she prayed. So now, First Baptist, I have no clue of what you are experiencing or what obstacles, barriers, high mountains, steep valleys, what existential circumstances you are currently experiencing. There's only one answer that I know, and that is prayer. There's an old quartet song, I learned to pray in and out of season. To pray for any reason. Prayer is the key. Faith unlocks the door. If we believe, we shall receive. God will hear every word we say while we are praying. Help is on the way. And the title of the song is Prayer Will Fix It Every Time. First Baptist, I know you're praying, but God wants to encourage all of us to continue. Don't stop praying. Continue to pray. This is a beautiful parable that Jesus speaks to us, encouraging us not to stop praying, because we will experience experiences that will bring us face to face with our limitations. Sometimes we think, yeah, I can do that. I can handle that. I don't need God. Stay there until I call you. We will face those moments. So he encouraged us to pray. Her persistence in praying and visiting the courthouse, the judge said, you know what? I don't fear God. I don't fear this woman. But you know what? Every day she's on my docket. I'm going to have to deal with her. Because if we're in a boxing match, she's going to wear me out. Or if I can use some New Orleans language, she's gonna whip my butt, because she is mentally in my courthouse. And she's always and humming something that I cannot hear. So the judge concluded, ma'am, what's your request? Justice served. Have a good day. But the conclusion of the matter is beautiful. Allow me to read it from Luke 18, verse 7 and 8. Shall not God avenge us? Come to our rescue. Come to our need. Respond to our request. And God is just. And then we have a comparison. Two judges, one unjust, one just, one unrighteous, one righteous, one with limited power, one with omnipotent power, one with limited knowledge, one with all-knowing knowledge, one with limited presence, one that is omnipresent. Unlimited knowledge, all-knowing. One that is very disrespectful, one that respects us because he is our Father and our Creator. One who lacked love, one filled with love. No justice, finally justice served, and God always gives us justice served. Grandma taught me a long time ago. She said, Johnny, keep praying, son. God may not come when you want him, but God is always on time. And then the last part, Jesus says, God will come to our rescue and meet our needs. because we pray to him day and night. And he is listening, even though seemingly he is not answering as quickly as we would desire. Even Michael Jackson sang a hit song, "Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Don't Stop Till You Get Enough." We gotta keep praying. It's our time to pray. The pulpit is vacant. It's our time to pray. As God had a shepherdess and our shepherds for you in the past, God has a shepherdess or shepherd for you in the present. Let us continue to pray. And then that first line of that eighth verse, Jesus says, "I will tell you the conclusion of the matter." If we continue praying, speedily. So, First Baptist, this parable that Jesus spoke is because his disciples were chosen. And guess what? We have been chosen. And since God has done what the old preacher would say in Georgia, picked us out to be picked on, that means to have these existential experiences, God has not left us. Reverend James Cleveland sings a song, "I don't believe, I don't feel, no." This is in Southern California, you know, they use a lot of different slang language than they do in the Midwest. But it's the language that the people understood. They paraphrased hymns, rewrote hymns that the people could understand. Gospel hymns that the people in the struggle could understand. "I feel low, ways tired. Why? I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me." Frank C. Houston sings a hymn that has helped me during my struggles. "Sometimes the shadows gather and the mists obscure my way. Sometimes the clouds grow heavy and darkens all the day. How precious to remember our Father's loving that he still loves First Baptist, his children, and he will answer their prayers." The refrain, keep on believing. God will answer our prayers. Keep on believing and never despair. Though we are heavy laden and burdened down with care, remember, God still loves us, his children, and God will answer prayer. It's our time. What time is it? First Baptist, your response is, "Johnny, it's our time to pray. Amen."